incarnation of Christ is what makes Christianity different from all of the other faiths. It's about God coming from heaven to earth to be present with us.
Christmas is all about God coming into our story, helping us figure out how we go about life in our world.
We're talking about one of the greatest stories in the Bible in the context of while people are busy and they are in the midst of chaos of shopping.
Advent Conspiracy is an invitation to celebrate the story of Christmas, not by just remembering, not by just proclaiming, but by actually living out the story of Christmas.
It's an attempt to recapture the beauty of Christmas. If we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, we thought it should actually be about the birth of Christ. Too often we make it about the things that actually consume us.
It's a chance for us to do two things, to worship fully and also to love practically. I'm so excited about this series. It's going to give us a chance every time we're together to worship God fully and also to be able to love people practically by supporting people and helping people both locally and in the world.
You know, our church traditionally, every Advent season, has taken a special offering that we've called the Poinsettia Project. This year, our special offering is going to go to support five different missions that our church supports on a year-around basis.
The five ministries, I'm happy to say, are military ministries, Faith Backpack, Meals on Wheels, our Mexico missions, and Cuba Hurricane Relief.
You know, I think many times our children know better than we do that Christmas should be about Jesus. I'm so excited about Advent Conspiracy because I think it allows the Holy Spirit to move in a creative way to help impact our homes and our community and world. I'm so excited that you're going through this series with us. Well, 2 weeks away. Are you ready? Some of you are. It feels like Christmas. We even got snow. We live in Florida. I saw your Facebook videos. I've never seen so much snow on my Facebook feed, ever. I didn't even see the snow. I was in bed. Asleep. But I knew it snowed in Shalimar because my whole Facebook feed was filled with all of your videos. You guys are out on your patios and your driveways going, "It's snowing!" I know, you're excited because you haven't seen it in so long because it feels like Christmas. But we have like 14 shopping days left. I mean, have you gotten all your presents bought? Have you planned your Christmas Eve meal? Do you have it all wrapped? Is your tree filled yet? Have you gone to all your Christmas parties? That's the true question. See, this past week started our Christmas party marathon. We had a warm-up with two parties last week. And this week I have one on Tuesday. Of course, church on Wednesday. Have another on Thursday, one on Friday, two on Saturday, and another on Sunday. I don't have to cook all week. The extrovert in me is so excited, and the person who hates cooking is even more excited. Now, my family isn't going to most of those parties, so they're on their own. They have to figure out the cooking. That's not my problem. But the Christmas season is here upon us, and we feel the excitement and the pressure. It's like you can't go anywhere. Have you tried to go to the store? Am I the only one that tries to go to the grocery store like right before they close? Am I? I don't want to go through the aisles and bob people. It's like having to do the grocery cart like obstacle course. Because you got some people that are going marathon driving through the grocery store and the other person that's going like this. And you're trying to wish, why don't they put horns on grocery carts? It brings sins, the worst parts out of you, Christmas does. It's like, it's crazy. It's supposed to be the happiest time of year, and all you want to do is say, move! Well, because I figured everybody is feeling the crazy Christmas that I'm feeling, I thought I would start us off this morning with a little bit of Christmas joy. So I brought you a little video.
And now, the Christmas can-can.
Christmas, Christmas time is here, and Christmas songs you love to hear, thoughts of joy and hope and cheer, but mostly shopping, shopping, shopping. Christmas, Christmas time is here, the sleigh bells and the red-nosed deer, songs and songs we love to hear, all played a thousand times each year. Heard this same song 20 times, and it's only Christmas time is here, and Christmas songs you love to hear. Joy, joy and hope and cheer, but mostly shopping, shopping, shopping. Christmas season starting sooner every year. It's October, stores with plastic Christmas trees. Ransack the mall, shop until you lose your mind. Spike the eggnog, sit back and watch Rudolph, Frosty, Tiny Tinsel, Scrooge, the Grinch, or Charlie Brown. It's time to
going to do the kick line.
All you need is a tree, some lights, about a thousand presents, wrap them up and break your snow. Run to your closet, find your Christmas sweater, screaming carols all the way, la 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 la, made all the way to California. It's the Christmas, you can't get Halloween to Christmas Day.
Do you feel like that? Like you just get pushed all the way through Christmas and you're in this marathon and you can't stop, and the next thing you know, we're at Christmas Eve and we're supposed to show up here and sing Silent Night with your candle all calm. And you don't know how you got to Christmas Eve. Sometimes I feel like that. And, you know, I feel like them too. And the reason I love this song is I laugh so hard of it because it's so true. I mean, I swear, if Abigail sings Santa Claus is Coming to Town one more time, I think I'm going to explode. And we've been so inundated already that I'm just so tired of Christmas. But yet I'm so excited for Christmas at the same time. How can we be so mixed with emotions when it comes to Christmas? I think some of this stress comes from our social requirement of Christmas. You know, we have this requirement to give people gifts. I mean, think about it. You have a list, right, of the people that have to have gifts. And these people, you have to find something to give them. And you just show up at a store hoping that the right gift will pop out at you. So then you're forced to go into a really crowded store and you're in a hurry and you're hoping the right thing will come up, and you don't spend a lot of time on it, and you probably end up spending more money than you'd like to spend, but you can't spend too little money because then people will think you're cheap. And you have to spend at least the amount you spent last year, and you want to make sure you spend as much as they spend. And the gift giving doesn't really come from a heart-filled place anymore. Did you know that the average American spends $900 on Christmas gifts a year? That's how much we've spent for years upon years upon years. It hasn't changed. Every year, the average American spends $900. But the cost of living in America for rent, utilities, and that sort of thing is between, oh, that's a typo, but it's between $1,000 and $1,500. It's not $100. If you find cost of living $100, tell me, I'm going there. So the cost of living is between $1,000 and $1,500 in America. Now, if you think about gifts at $900, and then you add the Christmas decorations and the food and the travel expenses, Americans spend close to 1 month's income easily on Christmas every year. 1 month's cost of living. That's insane. And half of those gifts that we spend, people don't really care about. Our scripture passage this morning is, I'm going to read in just a second. It's from John the Baptist. But before I read it, I want to read you a quick quote out of our book, Advent Conspiracy, that says, "How strange and sad it is that the debt and consumerism reach their pinnacle on the morning we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Savior who came to liberate us from these things." See, Christ came to liberate us from sin. And from the Old Testament, we know that it's sinful to covet what other people have. So when we look at other people's Christmases and say, my Christmas has got to be as good as their Christmas, that's allowing the power of money and covet to control us. Christ came to liberate us from that. When we spend outside of our means, Scripture speaks against that. It's a sin, and Christ came to liberate us from that. He came to liberate us from the world's control over us, and yet so many times at Christmas, we worship Christ by putting ourselves into financial debt. That makes sense. And oftentimes, we give gifts to people we have an obligation to just because we have to, and we buy them things that just add to things. Now, John the Baptist, in the book of Luke, he was talking to people out in the wilderness. This is not long before Jesus came to be baptized. And he looked at the people there. He said, "You bunch of venomous snakes, who told you that you could escape God's wrath? Don't you just talk about the fact that you are better than everyone else and take pride in your religious heritage? You all say, 'We have Abraham for our father.' Listen, God could turn rocks into the children of Abraham." John's not very happy with these people, is he? John the Baptist goes on, he says, "God wants you to bear fruit. If you don't produce good fruit, then you'll be chopped down like a fruitless tree and be made into firewood." God's axe is taking aim and he's ready to swing. I mean, aren't you guys glad I don't preach to you like that? Just saying, you got it good. The people come back and they say to John, they go, "Well, what should we do to perform works of a changed life?" And John says, "The person who has two coats must share with the person who has none. And the person with food must share with the one in need." That's interesting that after John ridicules these Jews for not acting like God's people, and they say, "Okay, we get it, John. What do we need to do?" And he says, "Go share with the needy. When you have excess stuff, give it away." Now, I started thinking about this passage because, you know, it's been really cold this week. And it got cold, and I went into my coat closet, and I pulled out a nice warm coat. I had a choice of coats. And started thinking, there's a lot of people that don't have coats. So I started looking at all my coats. I have a lot. And I've got my wool coat, it's the one I wear the most. And I got my fleece coat. You know, that's for most Florida winters because it doesn't get very cold here. And then I got my rain jacket. Isn't it cute? Because, you know, that's for the spring because it don't need much heavy. And then I started getting into coats I don't really wear. And I got this really heavy jacket from Kentucky when it snowed a lot. I don't need that here. I haven't worn it in 2-3 years, but it's still in my closet. Then I got down to my hiking and farm jacket. I haven't worn that since I came to Florida either, but you know, I like it. It's warm. And then I found my ski jacket that I got in high school. It keeps you warm and dry. It's a good jacket. And then I came to my sentimental jacket from my grandmother. I can't get rid of it. I've tried. Worn it 4 times. But my grandmother, she was a deep Southern woman, and 16 years old, she told me, "Faith, every good Southern girl needs a fur coat." I don't need a fur coat. Don't you know people throw like red paint on people with fur coats? It's the only thing my grandmother bought me that cost anything, though, so I can't get rid of it. So it sits in a box. But I looked at this pile of coats. I said, "Faith, you're not listening to John very well. It's cold outside, and people are living on the streets in Chalamar, and you have a closet full of coats." So this afternoon, I'm going to get rid of some of them. My husband's really happy about that. He's got more closet space now. But the point of John's passage in relation to us at Christmas is when we spend Christmas dollars just to buy a gift, to check off a list, we add to this whole concept of just buying to buy. You know, you could just buy someone another Christmas sweater. You could buy them another cookbook. Buy them another pair of socks, another tie. You could buy them another, you know, pair of shoes. Could just add something to their collection. But is it a need? Does it help our community? Does it come from the heart? Does it meet something? And I think that's what the passage here is trying to say. Are we just giving something because we have to? Or are we giving because it does something? And the writers of this book, which I don't know how many of you have looked at reading it, but it's a really interesting read. What they challenge us to say is if we look at our Christmas spending, and instead of just giving out an obligation, give from a place in our heart, we can find ways to cut our spending. Now, before you all look at me and start sending me ugly emails and text messages, I want you to hold on for a second, because next week we're going to have a second part of this message called Give More. And we're going to talk about why we spend less. Because we're going to spend less money on gifts so that we can give more to other things. So you got to hold with me, okay? But sometimes there's a difference in a price and a cost. Pastor Philip talked about this in his message last week when he preached the same topic. And sometimes the price tag on something isn't necessarily the cost of it. And for many of us, our time is the most valuable thing that we have. And just running into the store and grabbing the first thing that pops out to us doesn't take much time. But we can find very valuable gifts and cost that don't have a high price tag. And actually spend less dollars and give someone something more meaningful. And the result is we don't spend as many dollars, and we don't add to piles like this, and we can make a bigger impact in other places. The only way we can do that, though, is to slow down. My hope for all of us is that we don't end Christmas feeling like the Christmas can. Because I don't think that's what celebrating the birth of our Lord is supposed to feel like. I think we're supposed to be able to enjoy this season. I'm excited about my Christmas parties this week because that's spending time with people in our congregation. And that's nothing. The one thing I love the most about being a pastor is spending time with you guys. But when we slow down and we look for the people around us and look for opportunities to show hope and love and joy and peace to people, we're showing the things that are the reason Christ came. And those are the gifts we're supposed to give. It takes a little more time. We can do it and be meaningful in what we do and actually spend less dollars. Now, the writers of our book gave some suggestions for you to think about. Now, many of you may be already done with your shopping. I encourage you, when that one thing stands out in the store and you think you're done, you know what I'm talking about, right? You go, yes, my list is complete. And then you walk in the store and go, ooh, but look at that. To think about what you're buying before you spend money on it. And determine exactly how much you're going to spend and just don't spend anymore. Don't allow yourself to be paying for Christmas for the next 4 or 5 months. If you think about the fact that Americans spend 1 month's worth of cost of living, you know, the hope would be is we spread that out over 12 months and we prepare for Christmas. You know, spend the time to think about everybody on your list. Give them some thought. Make it meaningful. And then think about how your gift reflects. You know, and I love that so many places have started the whole pulling names thing and stuff like that, so you don't have to give everybody a gift. You can just give one person. But think about ways that you can do time types of gifts that have a high cost but not necessarily a high price value. That's something that we're working on in our family. Because so many times it's much easier to wrap a gift than to give of our time. And I know I'm not the only one that feels that in our fast-paced society. So hang with me next week as we talk about if we can cut our price tag of gifts, how we can use that savings to impact our community and our world for the kingdom of God more. Because that's where we're going to go next week with it. So I want you guys to think about that. I'm going to invite Ben to come back and close us. And as we go to the Lord in reflection, Ben's got one of our very well familiar songs that he told me what it was earlier. Cornerstone. That we're going to be reflecting on the fact that all of this, everything we do, everything about Christmas, everything about the giving of gifts out of act of love, because that's why we give, to reflect our love of others, is all because of Christ and what he does in the center of our life. So let's take a moment to think about